awesome God. Anything we could ever say as a human being about God would not be enough. Just the word awesome, that's not enough. Our awesome God. Words can't describe. If you know Him, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know Him yet, you don't know what I'm talking about. He might not be that awesome to you yet. But our awesome God. Chris just sang about that. A mighty fortress is our God. This place of protection. God is our refuge and strength. A refuge is a quiet place of protection. That's our God. Our God. Anyone who submits to Him, turns to Him, finds this. Our awesome God. He is awesome. And you can see that anywhere in the Psalms. As you go through the Psalms, if you're having a certain day and you're just not feeling the awesomeness of God, you're just not experiencing that, maybe you see, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always just as big as He's always been. He's always just as prevalent, just as active, just as working as He was when He parted the Red Sea and when in the person of Jesus He walked on the water. He's just as much here today. He's just as doing just as many things today, just as many miracles right here today among us. But if you're ever having a day where you're just not seeing it, you're just not seeing Him, go to the Psalms. Go to the Psalms and just begin to read, and God will reveal Himself. You'll start to see how awesome our God is. Let's do that this morning. Let's go to Psalm 108. And let's just look at how awesome our God is. How beautifully Chris and Lisa just performed or sang about Him in this way. Look at Psalm 108. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair. You just open to the middle of your Bible and then kind of turn to the left a little bit. And you should start seeing Psalms. If you're new, it's a P-S-A-L-M. Psalm 108, God tells us this. My heart, the title is a song, a psalm of David. So it's recorded that David penned this psalm, but God's word through him for you, for me. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from His sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter, Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I toss my sandal, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, you who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and He will trample down our enemies. Our awesome God, we see Him there. We see our awesome God there. Here's a few things that we can take away from this for our own lives. As you acknowledge this awesome God, your awesome God. First of all, say this about your awesome God. Nothing will stop my praise and worship. Because you have an awesome God, let that be the cry of your heart. Nothing will stop my praise and worship. Tell that to the Lord. Is that how you feel? Is that what's in your heart? It's okay if it's not yet. Get there. Get there this morning as you listen. As when you see how awesome God is, when you acknowledge Him and you see how much He loves you and how infinite He is, this is going to start bubbling up in you. You're going to want to praise Him. And then you'll be able to say, nothing will stop my praise and my worship. Look at these first three verses. My heart is steadfast, O God. And that word steadfast means firm and unwavering. It's just stuck right there. It's like locked in. You know, I always think of batteries. You know, batteries fit so nicely in a nice tight compartment. You take off that remote control. You slide off that little thing and those batteries just click, click. They are steadfast when they're in there. They're not moving. They are steadfast in there. That's what he's saying here. My heart is steadfast. Click, click. My heart is steadfast. It's firm. It's unwavering. It's clicked in there, oh God. My heart is steadfast. How's your heart today? Get your heart right there. Lord, my heart is steadfast, oh God. And because it's steadfast on you, because I know you're an awesome God, I will sing and make music. I'm not going to have a wavering heart that goes every which way. And sometimes I'm down and you seem... You see, God never changes, but we change. Our perspective changes. And sometimes... do me a favor and put your hand in front of your face for just a minute, maybe about a foot away, and focus on your hand. That seems big and it's in focus. It's dominant. And then keep on looking at your hand, but notice behind your hand, there's probably a wall back there somewhere. But that wall's kind of insignificant. It's out of focus. Now, all of a sudden, focus on a point on the wall. And what happens to your hand? All of a sudden, your hand becomes... I can see through my hand. It becomes kind of insignificant. Now the wall is dominant. You know, we're the same way. God never changes. He's just as awesome, just as infinite, just as parting the Red Sea, just as walking on the water, just as raising the dead, just as He's always been. And we can either have our focus on Him, and we can see Him and see His power and see His awesomeness and see His glory, and then all of our problems and the things we're facing, those can all kind of be in the background when we're focused on Him and how big and awesome He is. But then, see, in a moment, because of our sinful nature, and us, in a moment we can start focusing on all our problems and maybe a big giant one that's facing us, and we can just put all our attention and our focus on that. And what happens to God? Of course, in our perspective, He seems to get all small. And where's God? Where's God? I'm facing this huge thing, and we've moved, not Him. Go back to the Psalms and see how awesome He is again. And that's what's going on. We're saying, my heart is steadfast. Lord, I'm going to keep my heart on You. Not get my heart on all my problems and all these things out here. No, I'm going to keep my heart steadfast on You, God. My heart is steadfast, oh God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. That's a couple of instruments. You know, a harp and then a lyre. That's another instrument back then. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise You, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of You among the peoples. Let nothing stop Your praise and Your worship. Let that be what you say. I will awaken the dawn with Your praise of the Lord. I will awaken the dawn. I guess that's before the sun comes up. I'm going to go ahead and get up and I'm going to praise You, Lord. I'm going to get up before the sun comes up, before the day begins. I'm just going to be praising You and worshiping You. I love to do that this morning. I go to different places and worship the Lord. And this morning, I love going to Shakespeare. And this morning I went out to Shakespeare and I awoke in the dawn. It was still dark as I was getting there. And boy, that sunrise is beautiful. Little bit of steam on the water, ducks everywhere. And I wasn't necessarily just praising the Lord the whole time, but I was reading His Word. I was listening to His Word, hearing what He's saying, and then praying. And that's a great way to begin. I always begin my prayer with praise. Just start praising the Lord. Jesus taught us how to pray, and the first thing He said was, pray, Father, hallowed be your name. And that means set apart is your name. I'm just going to praise you for a while, Father. And when you pray, that's the way to start. Just start praising the Lord. Get focused on Him. Get in those Psalms. And awaken the dawn. Get up before the day starts. I'm always reminded of Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, seek first. And I know some people, you know, will say, I'm not a morning person. You know, I have a quiet time, you know, in the evening before bed or you know, whatever. But there's something about what God's saying here. I will awaken the dawn praising you. There's something about Matthew 6:33 where Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you as well. Something about that verse speaks to me. Seek first, like before anything else in my day. I love to begin even before my feet hit the floor, just praising the Lord. And I can't do it for too long because it's disturbing when Allison's trying to sleep. So lately, I'll just get up, I'll go in the bathroom and just begin praising the Lord. Seek first His kingdom where He's ruling and reigning. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's Him. Seek Him first. Before anything, before the day begins, before the dawn, I will awaken the dawn. And then notice, I will praise you among the nations. Verse 3a, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. Nothing ought to stop our praise. It doesn't matter if we're in a predominantly Buddhist country or we're in a predominantly Muslim country somewhere else in the world or whatever. Nothing. I will praise you among the nations, Lord. And next, why? Nothing will stop my praise and worship. Why? Because of who you are. You are awesome. That's our next point. Our awesome God. Nothing will stop my praise and worship. Why? Because of who you are. You are awesome. We see that in verse 4 and 5. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. I'm reminded in verse 3, I will praise you, O Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, in verse 4, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. You know, that's infinite. Imagine how high the heavens are. And I'm always reminded, God told us in Ephesians 3, there's a wonderful prayer where the Apostle Paul prayed that we'd, and God through him for each of us, he prayed that we'd be able to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and that we'd know this love that surpasses knowledge. His love is infinite in every direction. And I'm always reminded, if you imagine standing on a beautiful beach, and you just look to the left and to the right, as far as you can just see the coast as far as you can down that way and that way. And you can look out and then you see that horizon. You just see the place where the ocean seems to meet the sky and as far as you can see. And you imagine how high those heavens are and how deep that ocean is in the deepest part. And God's just given us a picture. His love is infinite in every direction. For great is your love, higher than the heavens, and His faithfulness. He's always faithful. He's always the same. He's always faithful to you. Even when you're faithless, even when you have no faith at all, the Bible says, I love that verse, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. He's still going to be faithful to you even when you have no faith. Even when you're just totally focused on that problem and He seems that big, He'll still stay faithful to you. Your love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. And if you ever doubt His love, don't just think about the beach scene, how His love is infinite in every direction. Just look at the cross. Look at the cross. That's God on that cross, dying in your place. Paying for all of your wrongs so that you don't have to go to hell, so that you don't have to die in your sins, so that you don't have to pay for your sins. Just look at the cross. God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God knew every one of your sins. Jesus is God in the flesh. And when He went to that cross, He knew you weren't even born yet, but He knew you were on His mind, and He knew every sin you would ever commit, even the ones you hadn't done yet. He knew them all. And you were His enemy, destined for hell, and He decided to die for you at that time when He knew everything bad about you. He gave His life for you. Just look at the cross if you ever doubt His love. Get you a pocket cross. They're out there in a little basket. And just let it be a reminder whenever you see it of His love, and to let Him be first in your life above everything. Nothing will stop my praise and worship because of who you are. You are awesome. Next, you may want to say this to Him. Save and deliver us. Speak to us. You may want to say that to Him. Save and deliver me, Lord. Speak to me. That's what's going on in verse 6 and 7a. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. Save and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. Wow. Save and deliver us. You know, I think of two different things we need to be saved from. First and foremost, above anything and everything, is our sin. You know, it doesn't matter what problem you're in. If you haven't given your heart yet to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said to Nicodemus that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he's born again. So if you haven't given your life to Him yet and been born again, that is the biggest thing you need to be saved from, is your sins. That is number one. But I'm reminded that there's two things we need to be saved from. First and foremost, your sins. Because it doesn't matter what problem you're going through. You might have 10,000 problems right now. You may feel like you're about to die. But if you haven't given your heart to Jesus yet, that's your biggest problem. That's the biggest one. That's number one. And you can ask Him all day long. And you may have been asking Him all your life, crying out to Him, Lord, help me with this. Help me with this problem. Lord, help me with this. But the one prayer that He's really waiting on is, Lord, help me with my sin problem. Save me. Come into my life. You can ask help for every other problem in the world, but none of it's going to matter, because as soon as you pass away, instantly in hell, apart from God, separated forever. And you had a few short years here on the earth. What good is that? The biggest problem every one of us have is our sin problem. First and foremost, pray for that if you haven't yet. Lord, save and deliver me from my sins, from myself. He did everything necessary to do it. You just receive it. It's a free gift. And you can call to Him at any moment and say, I believe, Jesus, save me. Come into my life. He did it. So there's two things that I see we need to be saved from. First of all, that, our sins and their penalty, death and hell. That's what we need to be saved from. And then secondly, everything else. Just get that order right. That's first. And then you're still going to have tons of problems. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And He said before He said that, in me you may have peace. And so whatever problem, whatever you're going through, you can have peace in Him. But get the first problem right first. Become born again. Give Him your life. And then after that, yes, every time you're in trouble in the world, cry out to Him again. Lord, save me from this. Save me from this. But then He's in you and He's with you. He goes with you through it, whatever it is. And He'll empower you and He'll give you what you need to get through it. Save me and deliver me. And speak to us. We see that in the first part of verse 7. God has spoken from His sanctuary. God has spoken from His sanctuary. Here we are today. This is the sanctuary. He's been speaking all morning. Have you heard Him? Every person that's gotten up here, somebody's had a reading. Somebody's read a reading. Somebody's sung a song. The choir has sung a song. You opened up the hymnal and you saw some different things. You're hearing a message right now. You're hearing His word. Have you heard His voice yet? He's speaking. When you were in Bible study this morning at 9 o'clock, when you were with your Bible study group, He was speaking. He was speaking. Anytime there's believers together and they all got the Holy Spirit in them, He was speaking through many people in that group. Have you heard His voice yet? Did you hear it all through Bible study? Did you hear it before you got here? Did you wake up the dawn? Get with Him. Be alone with Him. Hear His voice. What's He saying to me? He's speaking. Are we listening? Are you hearing Him? God has spoken from His sanctuary. Stop looking for a burning bush. Stop thinking, I don't remember the last time I heard the Lord speak. He's speaking all the time. Many times it's a still, small voice. Just a little nudging in your heart. One time I heard a story, there was a little girl one time, and her daddy was a preacher, and she said, "Daddy, you're always talking about hearing God's voice, and I don't ever hear His voice. How am I supposed to hear His voice? I don't hear His voice." And in a rare burst of wisdom, he said, "Honey," he said, "you remember when you were at school the other day and you told me there was that little girl in the lunchroom and nobody would sit with her? Everybody's got to be away from her. And you went over and you sat by her." She said, yeah. He said, "Who told you to do that?" And she said, "Oh, so that's him." God is speaking all the time. Are you hearing Him? What's He saying to you right now? What's He saying this morning? Save and deliver us. Speak to us. Are you hearing His voice? It's so small. Oftentimes it's so small. But He's speaking right here in this place. The other night, He was speaking. He's speaking all the time. It's just whether we recognize it or not. The other night, Anna was having her birthday party, and at the same time, John Allen was having a soccer party. His soccer team won the championship, and they decided to eat at CeCe's. And so Christian and I went from Anna's birthday party, my youngest son, right, who just did the reading, and we came from Anna's birthday party, and we went over to CeCe's to meet with John Allen, my oldest son, and all that soccer team. And as soon as I got there, and this man was already on my heart. I had thought at different times, but as soon as I got there, John Allen said, "Oh, Dad, this particular man, you know, in the soccer group and all that," he said, "can you give him a pocket cross? Can you talk to him? You know, talk to him about the Lord." And I knew, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's just your son telling you that. No. Do you recognize the Lord's word? I knew. So as soon as I got my food, I sat right down with that man. And we got to talk about the Lord the whole time. And I think he's already a believer from everything we talked about. But we really connected real well. And they don't go to a church anywhere. I'm praying and hoping they'll come here. He seemed very interested. We'll see. And then in the meantime, I'm talking to him so intently. And before we had gotten out of the... Anyway, I'm talking to him and Christian's sitting beside me. And you know what? He was... John Allen heard the Lord's voice. That's how John Allen knew to tell me about this man. I heard the Lord's voice. That's how I knew to sit with this man and be talking to him. Christian was hearing the Lord's voice because every 5 or 10 minutes or so, Christian was saying, "Dad, can I have a pocket cross?" I said, yeah. What's going on? And he'd take off, go somewhere in the restaurant, and ask somebody, "Would you like to have one of these?" "It's about Jesus." That's what he would tell them. "It's about Jesus." And they'd take that. And he kept coming back. And then he'd come back. And I'm talking to this man. "Dad, can I have another pocket cross?" "Yeah. Who'd you give the last one to?" "Yeah, that woman over there with the blonde hair." "Who are you giving this one to?" And then before we know it, we're still eating. And this young lady comes up to the table. And she looks at Christian. She says, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much." Christian was hearing his voice. Are we hearing His voice? Are you hearing His voice? And next, you give the victory is what we can say to the Lord next. Our awesome God. So we've got, nothing will stop my praise and worship. Because of who you are awesome. Save and deliver us. Speak to us. Or say it yourself. Save and deliver me. Speak to me. And then next, you give the victory. Lord, you give the victory. That's what's going on in 7b through 9. God says this, "In triumph I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet." And he goes on from there. The Lord is doing all that. That's the Lord is working, doing all these things. He gives the victory. Victory comes from Him. Not from you trying and struggling and striving. I'm going to be victorious over sin sometime. I'm going to keep working on it and working on it. He gives the victory. It's His power. Him through you. You surrender to Him. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You keep on spending time with Him. You wake the dawn up spending time with Him. You keep on hearing His voice and doing whatever He tells you to do. But He's got the victory. He's going to use you. And He gives the victory. And finally, guide me and help me defeat my enemies, for human strength is worthless. That's what we see next. Tell the Lord that. Guide me and help me defeat my enemies, for human strength is worthless. We see that in 10 through 13. Guide me. First of all, look at 10. The psalmist speaking, "Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom?" In verse 11, "Is it not You, O God, You who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies?" He knows God is the one that will guide him. God's the one that will take him. God is our guide. And Isaiah tells us, the Lord will continually guide you. That never ends. I love Psalm 139 where God says, through the psalmist, "Where can I go from Your Spirit?" And he's saying, "God, You're everywhere." I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but "Where can I go from Your Spirit?" And then he finally says, "Even if I go to the far end of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me." You can't even escape God's Spirit and His guidance. And that still small voice. But are you listening? Or are you rejecting it? If you have a hard heart, you're not going to hear His voice. If you keep on saying no, no. If you keep on rejecting that voice, don't do that. That's dangerous. Your heart will become harder and harder. It's going to be harder and harder for you to hear that voice. But God can break through. If you repent, you just come to Him again. "God, have mercy on me. I haven't been hearing Your voice. I'm Yours, Lord. Here I am." His arms are always open wide, ready to receive you back when you're ready to come. Guide me and help me defeat my enemies, for human strength is worthless. And then we see in 12, "Give us aid," that's help, "give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and He will trample down our enemies." Your own help, your own human strength, the help from your neighbors, that's all worthless. God will help you. He is your strength. Our awesome God. And so say this to Him. Let this be your prayer. "Nothing will stop my praise and my worship of You. Because of who You are awesome. Save and deliver me and speak to me. You give the victory. And guide me and help me defeat my enemies, for human strength is worthless."